Hi, it's Jeff. Welcome to track two in this masterclass for building your limitless mind. As I discussed in track one, we're going to be generally following the structure of the book. I'm going to be adding to it, augmenting it, bring it more and more to life. And we are in part one of the book, Choose Your Thinking, beginning with chapter one, Starting With You. And this notion of starting with you comes from my Do What You Want books. In those books where I lay out the system for doing what you want, which is a five-step system, define your goals, getting it, plan it, execute it, and building skills. These are all really important steps to getting what you want. But in my books, I begin with this chapter called Starting With You. Because as I laid up in track one, what matters more to getting what you want than doing all of those things? That you're the one doing it. And that's why we're starting with you in those books and we're starting with you here. Here's the opening quote. Nothing can stop the man with the right mental attitude from achieving his goal. Nothing on earth can help the man with the wrong mental attitude. Thomas Jefferson. Of course, we hear quotes like this all the time. Yet, what does it really mean and what does it really take to live it? This is what the book and masterclass are about. Not just good sounding ideas, but specifically, how do you actually do this? Because it's everything. You commonly hear the phrase, you are what you eat, but that is inaccurate. You are what you think. Your thoughts drive everything that you do, and I mean everything, including what you eat. Right? So let's analyze that. You are what you eat, right? But what you eat is a product of what you think. How you exercise is a product of what you think. So your body shape reflects what you think, and so does everything else in your life. For instance, as I record this today, it's a Friday. Does that mean that today should be better for some people? That by definition, because it's Friday, they're saying, thank God it's Friday. So is Friday a better day? Have they literally wired into their heads that Friday is a better day because it's a Friday? Therefore, by definition, Monday is a worse day. Do you see how all of this just comes down to thinking? Here's another idea. It was snowing this morning. I wonder how many people's day was worse because they looked outside and said, oh, it's snowing. They have a whole story about it. Oh, when it's snowing, it's just harder. And it's cold. I hate the cold. Okay. But notice that that is a fact. It's snowing, but we get to choose what it means. And this is the entire notion we're going to keep working through over and over again. We choose our thinking, and then these choices of thinking impact every way that we feel and everything that we do. And it's for this reason that in my books, I start with you to create the career and life that you truly want. You must first start by building yourself into the person who can do it. You see, there are two parts to getting what you want. The first part, the most obvious part, that you'll find in every book on personal development, focuses on the tasks you must do. Set goals, develop your plan, execute. This is an important part, but it is only one part to getting what you want. On its own, this task-focused approach is severely limiting because it implies success is all about taking steps. But more important than the steps you take is finding the answer to this question. Who is the you who will take the steps? Rather than seeing success as simply you taking steps, instead you ask, who must you become for doing what you want? See, and there's some examples in the book, but what I want to do is make this more real for you. Think of it this way. When you graduated school and you went to work, you had to show up a different person, right? When you walk around the business environment, if that's your job, you don't behave the same way as you do in a college environment. Right, it seems very basic, but you had to tailor yourself in some way. The example that I give in the book is, consider an Olympic weightlifter with her goal focused on lifting a world record weight. The goal is task-focused, right? Which is lifting a world record weight. But in fact, her goal is to build herself into the person who can lift a world record weight. Think about sports. If you're playing golf, the game isn't about hitting the perfect shot. It's about training yourself into the person who can hit the perfect shot. And so this you-focused approach to development comes back to you. That perfect golf shot, that world record weight, who you are at work comes back to who you are being. And who you are being begins with your thoughts. It begins with making choices in your mind that affect every feeling, that affect every action that you take. Consider Barack Obama. If you ask 100 campaign experts how he became president, ad nauseum, they could list all the things he did in running a successful campaign. He raised $1 billion, developed a popular message, courted the media, and so on. And even though they would come up with a long list, I suggest that list is secondary to what he did first. He built himself into the man who was capable of becoming president. And we might have driven this point home enough by now, but let me give you one final example. Running a marathon. If you set the goal to run the marathon as, I must run 26 miles, it's a false goal. Instead, what the goal should be is, build yourself into the person who can run 26 miles. And that's what a training program is about, right? It's not so that you can then run 26 miles. It's that you're starting with you, training yourself into the person who can run 26 miles. And while this might seem obvious now I've laid it up this way, it wasn't obvious to me when I first started reading books on personal development. But this is what personal development should be. How, specifically, do you develop yourself into the person who can crush your goals? See, whereas many people, including many so-called experts, seem to think of personal development as things, setting goals, developing plans, positive thinking, this you-focused approach is the crux of development. Top athletes develop their potential this way. They imagine themselves standing in the center podium, gold slung around their necks. They don't just focus on what they must do, but on developing the capabilities so that they can do it. Top performers know this. They know that development is about getting more of what you want by increasing your capabilities in three ways. The first way is the obvious, the task-focused way. Efficiency, effectiveness, doing the right things that have more impact in everything that you do. The second way we increase our capabilities is through developing skills. Like if you're going to hit that perfect golf shot, you'll be more capable if you've got better skills of actually playing golf. The third way, though, and the way that we're focused on in this masterclass, is that you develop your capabilities by training your mind and learning to think different. Follow your heart, blah, blah, blah. During one of my presentations at Stanford Business School, I showed one of the most popular quotes from Steve Jobs. Your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. Don't be trapped by dogma, which is living with the results of other people's thinking. Don't let the noise of others' opinions drown out your own inner voice. And most important, have the courage to follow your heart and intuition. Then I ask three questions. 1. How many of you love that quote? I was met with nods and smiles from all across the room. 2. How many of you know what it means to you? I lost some of the room, but many kept nodding and smiling. 3. How many of you have the courage to follow your heart? Yes, you guessed it. With his third question, nods turned to stillness. Smiles turned to blank stares. In 3 questions, dreamers turned to stone. Sitting in your comfortable seat, it's easy to dream of the possibilities for your career and imagining what it feels like to follow your deepest desires. Like soaking up the sunshine at your favorite beach with your feet dipped in the sand, you can sink into this feeling. But then something begins to change. Your imagination shifts from dreaming into, what does it take to actually do it? Your mind starts racing. What must I do? How will I do it? Is it even possible? Weighing the gravity of the change, instead of dipping your feet into sand, perhaps now it feels like standing on the edge of the cliff. Thinking about actually jumping, your excitement gets replaced with fear. You're no longer soaring, but looking down into the nothingness in which you might fail. It feels hard, painstakingly hard. Whereas in the beginning you're excited about following your heart, now you're on the edge and there's no way that most of us will ever jump. Because your actions change along with your thinking. And I want to just back up the truck here to hone in on this idea. How many of us have a dream for what we truly want? It might be in our careers, our businesses, our lives. That version of you that you imagine you could be at your greatest. It might be the partner that you believe you deserve to be with. Yet when we start thinking about it, we start to talk ourselves out of it. We might imagine, that's what I truly want. I'm seeing this business. I'm seeing my career this way. I'm seeing my life this way. This is what you truly want. Yet you can't commit to it. Because when you commit to it, your brain starts to go into the other stuff. Well, can I really achieve it? Is it possible for you? Are you willing to take on the quote-unquote risk? What if you fail? What will other people think? All of these things become cycles in our mind, these cycles of thinking. Go from us being dreamers and excited and imagining our lives as amazing as they can be, to sitting in our jobs like, just don't know what I want. What else is possible for me? And I mock it because in my lifetime I've known far too many of these people. With so many options, with so many dreams, with so much that is possible for them, stuck. Because they're first stuck in their mind. And this is the very notion of starting with you. No matter what you want, it begins with being able to get your mind into the right place. Because every single thought drives every single feeling, and vice versa, by the way. And every single thought and feeling drives every single action. And until we can align our minds with these things that matter most to us, it's never possible for us. Controversial example, Donald Trump. Right, I wrote a book on Trump and his influence, but the book I didn't write, and another topic that no one wants to talk about, is what did it take for him to do that? You may dislike him, you may hate his politics, you may hate him as a person, But what did it take for that man to stand and run for president when nobody else believed in him? When from day one people mocked his presidential bid, told him how much he would lose. Every step of the way, hated on, yelled at. Look, of course, he drew much of that on himself. Yet, every day he got up and drove himself harder and harder, believing in himself more than anyone else ever would, until he won. I know in our society you can't even celebrate that. You can't talk about what sort of accomplishment that is. But imagine that was an athlete, a football player that no one believed in, or a basketball player, all the way from high school to college through to the pros. No one believed in them, but they believed in themselves. Like Tom Brady, when he signed to the Patriots, walks up to the owner and what does he say? "Sir, this is the best decision you've ever made." He was a late draft pick, but in his mind, he believed that was the best decision they could have made. This is what we're talking about here. No matter what you want, making it possible begins in your mind, starting with you. There's a diagram in the book on page 18 which shows this process. It's a triangle where at the top you've got thoughts, the bottom right you've got feelings, the bottom left you've got actions. And a way to say it is that your thoughts drive your feelings, and your feelings drive your actions. And around again. So those actions then repeat back into your thoughts. Those thoughts then repeat back into your feelings. You can start anywhere on this chart. See, one of the things, having spent a lot of time on these topics that I've gone to the view on, is that more important than choosing your thoughts is choosing the way you feel. And there's a notion I'll talk about in the performance tools I call leading with the physical. What this means is that rather than even choosing your thoughts, first choose the feeling in the body. Change the way the body feels, and you change the thoughts. Change the actions and you change the thoughts. So, classic one being, if you are scared of jumping out of a plane and you jump out of a plane, that fear will go away. Not because you did all sorts of mental programming to get rid of the fear, but because you took an action that changed the thought. And while I'm sure there are people out there who want to debate all day long what drives what and chicken and the egg and all that stuff, who cares? What matters most here is one thing, to recognize that your thoughts, feelings, and actions are tied together in these ways. And however you change them, you want to just pay careful attention to it. If you're trying to take an action that you can't take, then the feeling is wrong, or the thought is wrong. And maybe you take the action and the thoughts change, or maybe you first have to change a thought, or maybe you first have to change the action. Like the name of Susan Jeffers' famous book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. She's not saying change the feeling of fear. She's saying take the action and the fear goes away. And this is a simple model from cognitive behavioral therapy, and also a model where I first saw it was in a real esoteric book where they called it the magical triangle. And I don't know why this isn't a triangle that's presented in front of us at age 5, 6, 7, 8, all the way throughout our lives. Because if we want to best run the human mind-body machine, this is the most important thing to understand. Thoughts, feelings, and actions operating in a cycle that are literally creating everything that's possible for us in our lives. And this is why it doesn't matter how many inspirational quotes you read or how many times you watch Steve Jobs' commencement speech or some TEDx presentation, no matter how much you fill your mind with ideas, you will fail to take action unless you choose the thoughts that are driving your feelings and actions. And this is why, and I didn't mention this by the way, when you look at the diagram, you see, willpower is at the center of the diagram. Willpower. How powerful are you at willing yourself to think, feel, act how you want. Will power. How much will you power your way through these ideas? For starting with you. In the book, I start a section with this idea, Think and Do What You Want, which is a take on Napoleon Hill's famous book, Think and Grow Rich, which is one of my favorite books for a lot of reasons. Probably the most important one is that there's about 3 hours of exercises throughout that book. So whereas 100 million copies have been sold, and a lot of people talk about really loving it, if you work your way through it, what you see is Think and Grow Rich is a book of training. How do you train yourself to access high vibrational energy? How do you train your mind to think how you need to think to keep growing more rich? Think and do what you want. In his book, Tribes, paraphrasing the Peter Principle, Seth Godin writes, I think what actually happens in that in every organization, everyone rises to the level at which they become paralyzed with fear. Really think about that for yourself. At what point do you get scared and you limit yourself? Are you scared of public speaking? Are you scared of delegating? Are you scared of leading? Are you scared of rejection? Are you scared of taking action? What are those things that paralyze you with fear? No matter what you want and no matter what it takes to get it, it all begins with choosing your thinking. To have the freedom to dream and set your sights on what you truly want, you must think it is possible. To create your plan and take the execution steps, you must think they will get you what you want. In this and every other way, your thinking drives your actions in doing what you want. Imagine this scenario. You're sitting around thinking you have zero chance of getting promoted to the job you want, and also, you have limited options to leave. By the way, how many people does this sound like? I know so many of these people. They're sitting in top jobs, with top resumes, with top educations, yet they're sitting there in fear.
Oh, just not going to get promoted. What if they don't promote me? What if they don't pay me? I just don't know what else I would do. I mean, I just, you know, at this level of my career, I just feel like the options are limited. Oh, get me away from those people. It's like most of my life I've been running away from those people who are limited because they're limited in their mind. Allowing yourself to choose low-value thoughts, thinking you're stuck with limited options, you feel unmotivated, which of course holds you back from taking the steps you need to get promoted. And now if we come back to the magical triangle, right? That failure to take action leads to a failure of thinking, leads to a failure of feeling. Right, so by not taking the action, they get even more cynical. Oh, poor me. They fail to get promoted, reinforces their thinking that they're going nowhere, which reinforces their downward spiral into more negative thinking, feelings, and lack of actions. In our backwards world that thinks personal development is weird, this is normal thinking. It's everywhere. 2/3 of people hating their jobs, sitting around whining about it every day. Oh, I got a case of the Mondays. Oh, it's almost Friday. Oh, now they can go out and get drunk. The cycles in our society are so disastrous. Then they show up on Monday whining more about it, all the way to get to Friday. Oh, now they can celebrate for a night and wake up and waste their weekend hungover. This is normal. What I do is weird. Development is weird because that's normal. Are you kidding me? This is common thinking. Low-value, crappy thoughts. Downward spirals of negative thinking. Yet all of us get to choose. Right, let's flip it the other way. If you choose your highest value thoughts, you create different feelings and actions.
Even if you believe your chances are limited but within the realm of possibility, highest value thoughts allow you to choose to give it your best shot. This gets you energized, which leads you to take constructive actions. Hence, you're more likely to get promoted. Even if you fail, if you can maintain this upward spiral, choosing the thinking that gets you moving in the right direction, not only do you choose the thoughts that feel good, but you increase your chance of getting promoted in the future and creating other options. But this shows you how the way we think spirals either positively or negatively. Your thoughts trigger feelings which trigger actions, and round and round and round and round again we go, ultimately changing and defining what is possible for you. And of course, in here I'm having a bit of a joke about this stuff, but there's nothing funny about it, is there? This is what's happening in a lot of our minds and in a lot of our lives. And I don't know this stuff because I'm perfect at it. I know it because for so much of my life I sucked at it. Where I'm lucky, though, is that even when I sucked at it the most, and I hated my job and I was whining about it, and I felt stuck, where I'm lucky is I took actions anyway. Even in this job, when writing was so hard for me, was easily the hardest thing that I'd ever done, and it felt really hard, and the thoughts were really negative. How am I going to get this book written? I still just took action. If you can get yourself to take action, it will change the thoughts, it will change the feelings. Whatever you can do, see this positive or negative spiral as happening in everything, in every day, in every way we live, and choose to change it. And this really does begin with seeing that you choose your thoughts. In choosing your thoughts, it's important to recognize the difference between reality and your perception of reality. To the uninitiated, thinking happens to them. Someone cuts them off on the street and immediately they respond with a finger. They shout, "That makes me so mad." Yet as you become familiar with these topics, you recognize that only you can choose your thoughts. See, I want to back up on this. "That makes me so mad. I'm scared of that. I get frustrated at that." This stuff is so deep in our language, but what it implies is a cause and effect. Because that thing happened, now you're mad. But if you insert a step in there, that thing happened, which was some sort of external stimuli. It runs a program in your brain that is just like a computer program. When that thing happens, then I get mad. And then the person indulged that program. And this is the whole point about choosing. We get to choose to be our own programmers. "I get so frustrated when my kids leave the dishes in the sink." Okay. So every time your kids leave the dishes in the sink, you get frustrated? That's worse than Pavlov's dogs. At least they salivated with something good. Food was coming. By definition, it's in our language. Something external to us happens. There's some type of internal representation, meaning the brain is running a program just like a computer that's a cause and effect. When that happens, I feel this, I think that, and it's wrong. Right, this is the very essence of choosing your thinking, that you get to choose whether you indulge that program, whether you change that program. It's the same way you can choose to pick up your phone when it rings. You can always choose how you respond to that external stimuli. It means choosing how you think is always within your power, no matter what is going on, no matter what is happening in your life, and no matter what is the so-called reality. At an extreme, you can always feel how you want, irrespective of conditions. And some of you might know the book by Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning. This is one of his most powerful conclusions, that even in the Nazi concentration camps, they can do what they do to your body, they can treat you like scum, yet You get to choose your thoughts. Every moment, the thoughts are inside your head. You get to choose them. I come back to people who hate their jobs. Oh, my job makes me so frustrated. No, your frustration isn't in your job. It's in your head, right? When you leave there and you're thinking about your job and you're getting frustrated, you're not even at your job, but you're bringing your job back into your head, allowing it to make you frustrated. And I recognize many people don't see these as choices because our society never teaches us this. We live in a cause and effect society that takes advantage of it. Oh, you're feeling bad? You need a new car. Oh, you're feeling like a loser? You definitely need some new shoes. Oh, and here's one of my favorite manipulations in our society. A diamond. That's love. It's forever. Just like love. So you better spend 3 months of your paycheck on that diamond. It's a stone that someone turned into love. Because they recognize how us humans are manipulated by our thoughts and feelings and actions. The people who run our societies know exactly what is happening inside our neurology, and they take advantage of it. Unless you're choosing your thinking, someone else is choosing it for you. And of course, while all this might sound good in theory, we know it can be extremely hard to do. And this is because many of our thoughts are being chosen for us unconsciously, just like Pavlov's dogs, as a matter of habit and repetition. Your patterns of thinking are mostly established in your mental blueprint by age 6. From then on, mostly repeated. I want to reinforce this. Most of who we think we are was imprinted by age 6, by our authority figures, and imprinted unconsciously. Not through reading books or being spoken to, but through observation. Consider this. Try to convince an atheist to accept God, or a diehard Republican to vote Democrat. They might consider themselves open-minded, but you'll never make a dent. This is why our political system is such rubbish. Because people are put on their blue and red jersey and they're fighting for their own team. And so basically very few people are ever open-minded about anything. Because our minds don't start from a blank slate. They don't start from being open-minded. They start from being closed-minded. Our brains are built to work on habit and repetition. If every time you picked up a watermelon you had to figure out whether it was a basketball, life would get a lot more complicated. If every time you walked up to a door you had to remember how to open it, it'd be a lot less easy to just keep opening doors. Our brains efficiently reference our past memories, decisions, experiences, values, beliefs. So even if you think you're open-minded and you're willing to evaluate new ideas, those new ideas are being run through old thought processes, remembering what you already think, and then contrasting it. And one of the key principles in influence, commitment and consistency. Once our brains already have an idea, we're committed to it. This is why so few people will ever change their mind or change their lives. And wait for it, this is the part that's really bad. About 90% of your thinking is redundant. Many of us know this. Means that almost everything you think today, the same thing you're thinking about yesterday, and the same thing you'll think about tomorrow. The other thing is you hear stats on this, maybe 70% of it's redundant and negative. Right, so nearly everything cycling around our head is the same garbage that we thought yesterday. Redundant, negative crap. Yet again, I'm the weird one talking about choose your thoughts. No, no, don't choose your thoughts. Just circulate redundant negative crap in your head every day. That's normal. Watch TV. Watch the news. Definitely just circulate more and more crap thinking. Hang out with most people in our world. Allow them to circulate more and more crap thinking as well. This is normal. And this is why it's so not easy to actually choose your own thoughts. Fortunately, however, you can easily train new habits of thinking. And this is where we're headed in the masterclass. Choose the thoughts that serve you. A cat catches a glimpse of itself in a mirror. Noticing the other cat, it attacks the mirror or quickly scurries away. A woman looks at a photo of herself and automatically recognizes that face on a two-dimensional print, noting, "That's me." While a leopard can't change its spots, human beings were born with something that definitely sets them apart from all other creatures. We have reason and willpower. So while a cat has no cognitive ability to even know it is a cat, of course, over time, it still learns what that mirror is and it doesn't scurry or attack the mirror very long. Yet us humans can go a massive step further. We have an ability to think critically, to use our brains, to use our minds, to choose every single thought. Just as you have the ability to recognize your picture, you have the ability to recognize patterns of thinking. And once they're recognized, you have a choice to either keep reinforcing old patterns or build new patterns of thinking. You do that in two steps. First, by choosing the thoughts that serve you. And second, by practicing your new thinking and training new habits.